every part of creation has been tainted by sin. Even heaven has been tainted by sin. Where did the first sin originate? It originated in heaven. Lucifer, he was in charge of, many people believe, the music in heaven. He might have been second in charge, according to some theologians. And then all of a sudden, he takes this initiative that he's going to be greater than God. And he said, I'm going to lift myself above God. I'm going to be greater than God. And so the sin of pride originated in heaven. He got kicked out of heaven, came to earth. He tempted Adam and Eve. They fell into sin, and the earth became tainted with sin.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his message titled, Knowing This, How Shall We Live? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Knowing This, How Shall We Live?
That means as Christians, we ought to be eager for the day of the Lord to come. I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, you start dealing with problems and you start dealing with issues and you start seeing about the craziness that's going on in the world. And, you know, you just look and you say, man, Lord, I wish you would just come on back. And you know, that's and we should have that desire. We should live our life as if the Lord is coming back today. And we should work and we should pray and we should witness and we should serve him with all of our heart and eagerly anticipate this day, that one day he's coming back. One day he's going to make all things brand new. And man, I sure am looking forward to that day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, Paul uses this word. And it was a word, I haven't heard this word lately. I know back in the 70s it was a big word, but haven't heard it used too much today. And the word is Maranatha. In 1 Corinthians 16, 22, Paul says Maranatha. That word Maranatha is very interesting. You know what it means? Come quickly, Lord. When people say Maranatha, what are they saying? Come quickly, Lord. And that should be our attitude. Come quickly, Lord. That I know it. I'm going to keep working, I'm going to keep serving, but Lord, come quickly. And we should anticipate the coming of the Lord, the expectancy. Are you looking forward to this day? Are you looking forward to the day when God is going to make all things new? Are you looking forward to the time when there'll be a restoration? Are you looking forward to a time when there'll be a renewal? Are you looking forward to that? When you get up in the morning, does your heart long for this day? Yeah, I remember when I had met my wife, and we were in college, and I came back home for the summer, and we were writing notes and letters back and forth to each other, and I would read her letters, she would read my letters, and I remember, you know, getting ready to go back to college, how I just look forward to seeing her again. The expectancy of just seeing her and being with her again. And I wonder if we as Christians have that expectancy to be with the Lord, to see his day come, to see a day come when he's glorified, to see a day come when he will right all the wrongs. Do we expect that? Are we looking forward to it? Are we looking forward to the heavens being on fire and being dissolved? You would say, man, what in the world? What are you talking? Are you crazy? Let me tell you the beauty. The heavens being on fire, being totally consumed. What's the significance of that? The significance is that all of creation has been tainted by sin. Every part of creation has been tainted by sin. Even heaven has been tainted by sin. Where did the first sin originate? It originated in heaven. Lucifer, he was in charge of, Many people believe the music in heaven. He might have been second in charge, according to some theologians. And then all of a sudden, he takes this initiative that he's going to be greater than God. And he said, I'm going to lift myself above God. I'm going to be greater than God. And so the sin of pride originated in heaven. He got kicked out of heaven, came to earth. He tempted Adam and Eve. They fell into sin, and the earth became tainted with sin. So why is God, why do we have to have a new heaven and a new earth? Because the current heaven and the current earth has been tainted by sin. And so God, in his power, in his grace, in his mercy, look, let me read this again, verses 12 and 13. He says here, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Again, we should anticipate that. We should expect that. Why? In which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved. That word dissolves means totally eradicated. And the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. All of it consumed. And then verse 13, and he will create a new heaven and a new earth that's filled with righteousness. There's not going to be any more corruption, not going to be any more sin. Notice when I say, when is he going to do this? He's going to do this right before eternity, right before we go into eternity. After God's plan has been implemented, before we go into eternity, he's going to consume this whole, this old heaven and earth, and he's going to create a new one. And that comes to the last point of my message today, which is the good preparation. The good preparation in verses 11 and 14. Knowing this, how shall we live? Pastor, you know, you talk about this day in the future when the heavens are going to be on fire, when the earth is going to be destroyed. What does that mean to me? How does that affect my life? You know, I got an electric bill that's due. How is that going to affect my electric bill today? You know, I'm in a relationship where I'm struggling with some issues here. How is that going to affect me today? You talking about something that's down the road. Well, Peter knew that you were going to ask that question. And so Peter said, knowing this, how shall we then live? Knowing that these things are going to take place, how shall we then live? And the first thing he says is that you need to live with a heavenly mindset. You need to live with a heavenly mindset. Look at verse 11. He says here, seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy living and godliness? Wow. Realizing that this is going to happen, what manner of person ought you to be? If you'll look in your notes under this point, the good preparation, I want to read what I wrote here in the notes. Living with a heavenly mindset. The Greek word for what manner of person, this is deep, literally means of what country? Of what country? It seems to point to the great truth that God's people are fellow citizens of the saints, that the commonwealth of which they are citizens is what? Heaven. Of what country ought you to be? Given the fact that this earth is going to be destroyed, of what country are you? What mindset is your country? Are you so rooted into this system? Are you so rooted into this world? You know, that's why people got all kind of problems. You know, they got all kind of physical problems. They got emotional problems. They got all kind, because they're too rooted into this system. And he says here, what manner of person ought you to be? Of what country should you be? You got the wrong mindset. Notice as I continue. The saints in Hebrews 11 are a fine example of this truth. For it is said of them that they desired a better country that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he hath prepared for them a city. And also it said of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, it said he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Go back and read Hebrews 11. Those saints were rooted with a heavenly mindset. Their mind was focused on heavenly things. Now, we have to be careful because we don't become so heavenly minded that we become no earthly good. And we see a lot of folk like that. Walk around and think they're so holier and high and mighty, and they're no good to anybody. But we need to have this perspective and realize that God calls us to a heavenly mindset. I was reading something in my study, and it says, as far as the mindsets that people have, for the businessman, life is accumulating wealth. For the academician, life is accumulating knowledge. For the politician, life is seeking power. For the actor, life is to see their name in lights. For the Christian, it ought to be to see the things that are in heaven. That we are rooted in heaven. And if we are going to live like people from another world, then we need to disconnect from this system. You know, again, you know, we are in the world, but not of the world. You know, we can't let the system grab us. You know, I'm reminded of the example that I heard about the flower, the white flower that was in the cave, and how that in the recesses of the cave, the dust from the cave would fall on the flower, and the flower would get all this dust from being in the cave. But all you had to do was go over and kind of tap the flower, and the dust would just roll off, and the flower would be pure white again. See, that's an example of being in the world. The world is going to be on us. The world is going to fall all on us. But we can't let the world grab us. We can't let the world hold on to us. If Christians let the world grab them, you know, the world, that's why it's called the world. Because they're in the world. They got a worldly mindset. They have worldly desires. They strive for worldly gain. And they are rooted in the worldly system. And God says that we need to have a heavenly mindset. We need to disconnect from this mindset that roots us into the world. And then we need to connect to the heavenly mindset. And that is that we need to work on sending things that will last for eternity. You know, every summer, my wife, and sometimes I'll go, we take our grandkids to camp. And when they go to camp, there's one thing that they try to do while the parents are there. And that is they have a camp store. And they ask the parents to come in and put some money on the kids' account. So that during the week of camp, if the kids want to get a snack or a drink or something, there'll be something on the account. And so if the kids go during the week and they don't have any money in the store, then guess what? There's no snack in the pocket. And when we think about this right here, when we get to heaven, how many of us are going to get there and not have anything on the account? Wow. You go to heaven and you haven't made any deposits in the store. You get there and, you know, I have to be careful how I say this. Sometimes you want to say the old people, but that's not politically correct. The saints of old, we'll say that. The saints of old, what they used to say was, I'm sending my timber for my mansion, right? Now, theologically, there's a lot of things wrong with that. But conceptually, I like it. You know, because what are they saying? They're saying, I'm sending up, you know, by the things that I'm doing here. You know, I have a mindset that's in another country. And I realize that everything I do down here, I'm doing with the mindset of being in another country. And so if I give a cup of cold water, I realize that I'm doing it in the name of the Lord, and that as I give that cup of cold water, that it's affecting my eternity. I remember D. James Kennedy. He said, I was in my car one day, and I was riding. I was listening to him, and I remember him saying this. I never forgot it. He said, what are you going to do today that will matter 10,000 years from now? Wow. Peter put it another way. He said that you are a citizen of another country. That's where your mind ought to be. Every day you get up, you ought to think of yourself as a kingdom citizen. What am I going to do today that will impact the kingdom? That's a good thing. You ought to write that down somewhere. And every day when you get up, you need to ask yourself the question. Given the fact that the earth is going to be burned up, given the fact that there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, what am I going to do today that's going to affect the kingdom of God? We got a whole lot of people that get up in the morning and they see how they can slip into the kingdom of God, how that they can capitalize in the kingdom of the world. But we ought to be thinking, if we have a heavenly mindset, we ought to be thinking, how can I affect the kingdom of God today? The good preparation. And then, as I close, what should we be motivated to do? We ought to live as imitators of Jesus Christ. Live as imitators of Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Notice that. Without spot and blameless. Watch this. This is deep. All right, this is deep. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1. We could actually go back to verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain manner of life received by the tradition from your fathers, but what will we redeem? With the precious blood of Jesus. And what is Jesus? He's what? A lamb without blemish or spot. What did he say? Be blameless and spotless. Who was blameless and spotless? Jesus Christ. And so, if we're going to live with a heavenly mindset, then not only should we ask ourselves, when we get up in the morning, what am I going to do to affect the kingdom today? I think that it would be a powerful thing. Let me challenge you before I go on vacation. All right? Let me challenge you. Just ask the Lord, Lord, what one thing can I do today that will advance the kingdom of God? It might be to call somebody up and pray with them. It might be to be a financial blessing to somebody. It might be that coworker who has questions, who's concerned, and you can minister to them. It might be sending somebody an email, a note of encouragement, a letter of encouragement. What one thing can you do for the next week that will affect the kingdom of God? See, then that's going to show that you have a heavenly mindset. And then he goes on to say that we need to imitate Jesus Christ. We need to be spotless and blameless. Let me go back to my notes again. I must have came under some anointing when I was putting these notes together. Look where it says, live as imitators of Christ. The last point, right? 1 Peter 1:19 says that Christ is the Lamb without blemish or spot. As Christians, we should imitate Christ. Because we are told to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. It has been said that spotlessness refers to the Christian's character, blamelessness to the Christian's reputation. To put it another way, spotlessness refers to how God sees you, and blamelessness refers to how others see you. Wow. In light of the fact that these things are going to be, we need to be spotless and blameless. Spotless. Spotless. Notice he didn't say sinless. We can't be sinless. Nobody here can be sinless. But we can be spotless. What does it mean to be spotless? You know, I've been pastor of Bethany Baptist Church for 23 years. Before I came here, I pastored a church out in the country for 3 years. Before that, I was associate pastor of a church for 2 years. All right? And if somebody ever came to me and asked me, would I run for political office? I say no. You know why? Because, man, you could go back into my past, right, and grab something, B.C., before I came to Christ. Then they bring all your stuff out, you know, and put it out. So you're not spotless, right? And so when we think about that, you know, every politician, before they run for office, they ought to ask themselves. I mean, you think you would be smart enough by now with everything that's happened? Every politician would be smart enough to ask themselves the question, is there anything out there? Is there anything out there that can take me down? It might be from 30 years ago. But you can be assured that if you run for office, somebody's going to dig it up and bring it out. So let me fast forward and ask us the question. Is there anything in your life right now? Are you spotless? I didn't say sinless. I didn't say perfect. But are you spotless? Are you living with a heavenly mindset? You know, I think of some of the stuff that we're dealing with, right? Politicians. And one politician running for mayor, right? Now, he got back in the race. He had to know. He had to know that a year after he came clean, he had to know that somebody was going to bring up. He wasn't spotless. And so God is asking us, are we spotless? Is there things in our life that's going on right now that we know about, that God knows about, that only us and God know about, that we need to deal with, that we need to take care of, because we need to have a different mindset? Are we spotless? Are you spotless? Then the second thing, are you blameless? Spotlessness refers to what God sees. Blamelessness refers to what others see. Other people looking at your life. Are there things that they see that's not consistent with the Christian faith? Your family, your husband, your wife, your kids, your co-workers. Are you blameless? Are you living a life where if they came at you and they made an accusation against you, that they would have to trump something up because you are trying to live a blameless life? This is what God has called us to. Knowing this, knowing that the world, the heaven, are going to be destroyed, knowing that God is going to create a new heaven and earth, how shall we live? How shall we live? Live like citizens of another kingdom. Be spotless, be blameless.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Knowing This, How Shall We Live?, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Knowing This, How Shall We Live? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Knowing This, How Shall We Live? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.